Luke chapter 8. Praise God. And the thing that's on my heart this morning, just been on my heart strong, is perseverance. Everybody say perseverance as you turn to Luke chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 41 in just a moment here. And I'm going to read two stories combined that I preach from often, but I get a lot of material out of them. Probably got 100 sermons out of this one passage right here, you know. Isn't that awesome? The Bible's not a textbook, is it? It's not just like some piece of poetry or literature that you just read, and once you get it, you get it, and that's it. But the Bible's living. Amen. Did you know that? Yes. You could have one scripture and get new light from it every day for the rest of your life. Isn't that right? Amen. So you never want to get yourself in the position where you're like, well, I've heard that, you know. I know that one. No, you don't. You don't know it like you can know it. Amen. It's alive. Praise God. If we ever get to the place, well, I know that. I've heard that. Check yourself, you know. Don't let yourself go there. Amen. Well, I've heard it. I know that. No. You still could know more than you know yet. Amen. Praise God. You know, Mark 11, 23 and 24. Anybody ever heard that one? You know, just speaking to mountains. I'm sure it's probably been preached on once or twice here. You know, and you never want to get, well, I know that. You know, I know about faith. Not, you know, the Bible says that all things are possible for those who believe. Amen. Are all things possible for you? Amen. Yes, they are. Praise God. So, I mean, if there's anything that still seems like an obstacle to us, then we still have room to grow in faith. Isn't that right? I know I've got room to grow. Amen. I've got vision. There's still ground I want to take. I'm thankful for all the ground I did take. But where I am today, I don't want to still be there next time I come back with y'all. Amen. I want to be further along. How about you? Glory to God. I think I've got like a whole series on my heart this morning, so we'll try to get it out, you know, get it out fast. Amen. Luke 8 and chapter 41, and it's talking about Jesus here. Luke chapter 8 and verse 41, excuse me, yeah, Luke chapter 8, verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And all denied it. Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?' But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me.' Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason that she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" Amen. Now I'll pause there just for a moment. You know, Kenneth Hagin used to say, if her faith made her well, your faith could make you well. Isn't that right? Amen. Reading on, verse 49. Well, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Everybody say, "Only believe. And she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead, or thinking that she was dead at least, right? Jesus had another perspective on the situation. I'll make a quick note of this before we read on. Jesus said, "Do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. How many of you know that when you speak words of faith and speak in line with God's word, and you're going contrary to the course of this world, sometimes there's going to be some ridicule. You know, just get some thick skin, as we say, you know, just don't worry about it. You know, Jesus comes into a situation and he says something that doesn't make any sense to any of them. It doesn't make any sense, because all they've known is death. Once somebody's dead, they stay dead. That's it, you know. And that, you know, you're ridiculous. I knew a man, he was healed of cancer, praise God. And the doctors gave him, a limited amount of time to live. They said, this is, you know, they gave gave him a terminal report, told him how much time they believed he had left, and he just said, well, you know, Jesus is my healer, and he said some things about the situation of what he believed God said, and the doctor got mad at him. I mean, the doctor got bent out of shape. He said, you're not taking this as seriously as you should be, you know. Well, he just knew something. You know, the doctor was doing the best he could with the information that he had available with what he knew about the situation, but this man had what we call inside information. Amen. Information from inside the Word of God. Amen. Glory to God. So we'll read on here. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside. Well, there's a sermon right there. He put them all outside. Sometimes there are some folks, they're not contributing to your faith. They're not helping. You put them out. Amen. I love you, but you're not helping. I'll catch up with you after this thing plays out. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We could preach on that all morning. He put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Now, hallelujah. You know, here we see Jesus just says, little girl, arise. Let's talk about that for just a minute. I'd say that this was a pretty serious situation. How about you? Isn't it nice? Jesus didn't need to have an all-night prayer meeting. He didn't say, you know, let's call the prayer chain. Let's see if we could get 10,000 people praying, you know. He just came in and spoke a few words and the situation was over as if it never happened. Amen. Did you know that there's no hard miracles for God? There's nothing too difficult for him. It's our mind that makes things more difficult. You know, the course of this world causes us to think that maybe God, something's harder for God than something else. And then automatically, it always comes down to people think that God is somehow less willing to do more spectacular or bigger miracles. How many know that's not true? The greatest thing that could ever happen to a person is the new birth. The greatest miracle that could ever happen to a human being is the new birth. Old things pass away and all things become new. That's the big one. Amen. Bigger than blind eyes seeing, deaf ears hearing, lame legs walking. That's the biggest thing that could happen to a human being. How many believers do we have here this morning? Raise your hand. You've already had the big one. Amen. It doesn't get any bigger than that. If you had faith to be a new creature, everything after that is small change. Amen. Well, you know, for example, but why do some of these things seem harder than other things? For example, if we had an altar call here this morning, and we will, and said, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, today's your day. Amen. Don't put it off till tomorrow. He loves you. Today's the day. Amen. If you need to get back to God, today's today. And people responded to that invitation. And let's say we had people come forward and we prayed with them. I don't believe hardly anybody would doubt that as they prayed and called on the name of Jesus, that God would meet them, and the greatest miracle that could take place in a human being would take place at that very moment. Isn't that right? Well, now you have somebody come forward in a wheelchair, and all of a sudden then the emergency tongues come out, you know, or, you know, everybody gets nervous. My God, what are we going to do now? And, you know, this is a big miracle. And then, you know, I've been in meetings where then the excuses start flowing. Well, we really need this and that, and we need this gift in operation and that gift in operation. Why is that? Is God less willing to do one than the other? Is he more reluctant to do one than the other? No. It's the course of this world that makes us think that one is harder than the other. Are you hearing me this morning? It makes us think that one is harder, one is more difficult, or maybe God is less willing. Why? Just because of what we've seen and experienced that we put these things into categories. Is this helping anybody today? God is a big God, and he's not any less willing to work big miracles. Amen. He's not holding back, and it's not harder for him to work big miracles. But Paul said this. This is the good news. He said, do not be conformed to the course of this world. Romans 12:2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. That means we could renew our mind to think like God, to get in line with how he does things, to where till we get to the point where big miracles are no surprise, you know, whether it be financial, physical, whatever it needs. Amen. You know, we see this in the life of Peter. We see growth in his faith. How many want to grow in faith? My hand is up. I want to grow in faith. Amen. We see Peter when he first kind of starts interacting with Jesus. He's out there. He's still fishing for a living. And Jesus asked if he could borrow his boat to teach. And just the night prior to that, he fished all night and caught nothing. He labored and toiled all night long and caught nothing. And Jesus said, let me use your boat for a while. He preaches. Peter's cleaning his nets. And then Jesus says, now, why don't you launch out into the deep and let down down your nets for a catch. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the catch. And Peter battles with it. You know, he said, Master, I've labored and toiled all night long, but nevertheless at thy word. Amen. And if doubts are in your mind and things try to come against you, that was human reasoning. You know, I labored and toiled all night long. How's it going to work now? But then he at least ended on the right note. Amen. End on the right note. He said, but nevertheless at thy word. And instead of acting on his doubts, he acted on the word of God. Amen. He launched out into the deep. He let down his nets for the catch. And as he caught so many fish that his nets were breaking and the boat was sinking. A miracle amount of fish. He was astonished at the amount, and all that were with him, at the amount of fish that he caught. Amen. So then now he starts to see how this thing works, and we see growth in this situation. Later on, Peter's in a boat again. He sees Jesus out there walking on the water, and you know, this is a greater miracle as far as we, you know, would think in our thinking. What makes a miracle greater? Not that it's harder for God, not that he's less willing, but if it's more in conflict with the course of this world. Are you hearing me? Amen. So then now Jesus is walking on the water. Peter's not just casting out nets into the deep and believing God to help him and work with him. I mean, this, nobody walks on water without God. Are you hearing me? So he said, you know, so now Jesus is walking on the water, but we see a change in Peter. See, the first miracle Jesus initiated, he said, you launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now Peter's been growing, man. Things are changing because he sees Jesus and he says, Master, if that's you, bid me come unto you on the water. Amen. And Jesus says, come on, Peter. Now I love Jesus's response. He doesn't say, Peter, you stay in the boat. You leave the walking on water to me. He says, come on, Peter, come out of the boat. Let's walk on the water. Amen. That's what he's saying to you this morning. Get out of the boat and come on out with me and walk on the water. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now Peter does it. This is growth. Everybody say that's growth. That's growth, man. Praise God. I mean, before he's having a hard time with just casting out the nets. Now he's out there walking on the water. Praise God. Nevertheless, at thy word. Amen. Now, we see this in Peter to the point that later on, after Jesus has ascended and he's at the right hand of the Father, after the upper room, they're out there and they're at a place called the Gate Beautiful. Peter and John are on their way to church, and there's a man that's there begging for alms, and he's saying, you know, he's asking for money. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Takes him by the hand. The man goes walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. Now, then, you know, the crowd's coming unglued, as you could imagine. People are, you know, they know this man. They know that he's unable to walk. They're coming unglued. They're all excited. And Peter makes one of the most unusual statements. He doesn't say, isn't this amazing? Isn't this so unusual? Peter says, why marvel ye at this? Are you hearing me this morning? Or in other words, one translation says, why does this surprise you? You know, what do you mean? You mean the guy's never walked in his whole life and now he's jumping and leaping and praising God. What do you mean? Why does this surprise me? Are you hearing me? Peter says, why marvel ye at this? Everyday operation for Peter. Are you hearing me? Does not even surprise that the man got up and was walking for the first time in his whole life. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. Are you seeing it this morning? Amen. We got to get God's perspective on the situation. But we're talking about perseverance this morning. Now, so those were just a little side journeys. Now I could get started. Amen. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's getting good. It's a good confession. Amen. Turn to your other neighbor and say, this guy's a good preacher. Amen. That's a good confession. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But you see, here we got Jairus, and you know, he comes to Jesus and he says, my daughter's at home and she's sick. Come and lay your hands on her and she'll live. Amen. Jesus says, I'll come to your house. So man, I mean, this is it. He's got the answer. He comes to Jesus. Jesus says, I'm coming. And now, man, he's walking out his miracle. He's walking in faith. Jesus is with him. We could look at this as a metaphor for walking on the word. Amen. He goes to Jesus. He says, Jesus has the answer. Just like us saying, go to the word and we say the Word's got the answer. Amen. I mean, we don't have to go to a physical man walking around in the Middle East this morning. Aren't you glad? We can go to the Word. We can go to His name, and He's just as close as His name. He's just as close as His Word. Amen. And we can go to Him just like Jairus went to Jesus. He's had a problem. He had a crisis. He said, I'm going to go to Jesus. We can do the same thing with the Word. We can do the same thing with His name. We've got a problem. We've got a trial. We've got an obstacle too big for our natural ability. We can say, I'm going to Jesus. Amen. And just like Jesus and Jairus, He'll come with us and He'll start walking with us. Amen. So now they're on their way back to Jairus' house. And in the midst of this situation, the woman with the issue of blood comes and touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Now, I love this story. There's lessons to be learned there because, you know, everybody thinks, well, you know, God, I hear people tell me this. Well, in God's appointed time and His appointed method and His appointed place, you know. And what I love that this kind of dispels all that because Jesus, somebody touches the hem of His garment. He knows that power goes out of Him. He looks at a multitude of people and He says, who was it? Who touched me? You know, He didn't say, yea, it was the woman with the issue of blood, as it was appointed before the foundations of the earth were laid at this time, at this place. No, He looks around and said, who was it? Who did it? You know, could have been anybody. Are you hearing me this morning? Woman with the issue of blood, she chose the place, she chose the method, she chose the time. Amen. And God met her. If she was wrong, Jesus would have rebuked her. Jesus, not only did God meet her, but the story made the book. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you know, not every story made the book, folks. I mean, Jesus healed thousands of people. I mean, thousands in His earthly ministry. When He walked, you know, and but this one, she made the book. Jesus said, daughter, amen, go and be whole of thy plague. She chose the place. She chose the method. She said, I'll touch the hem of His garment. I'll be made whole. What gave her the audacity to say that? Amen. And God met her. She was wrong. Jesus would have said, how dare you? To think you could just, you know, orchestrate the mysteries of God and the plannings of God. No, Jesus blessed her, commended her, called her daughter, said, go, be made whole of thy plague. Amen. Another side journey there. Amen. But then back to Jairus. So, you know, all this is taking place. And then they go on from there. And now news comes back from Jairus, from his house. And they say, now don't trouble the master any longer. It's too late. The girl is not sick, but she is now dead. So now, you know, it seemed, are you hearing me this morning? We're talking about perseverance. Seemed like, man, he's walking with Jesus. He's walking on the Word. All of a sudden, things get better before they get worse. Are you hearing me? Have you been there? I've been there. Now listen, in these situations, it's very important how you interpret your circumstances. One of the songs we sang this morning talked about God is on my side, His victory is mine. Amen. Everybody say it. Say, His victory is mine. And in these situations, you need to remember that. You need to remember where the problems are coming from and where the help comes from. Amen. Some people have the idea that God's in control of everything. I hear people say, well, God's in control. Well, yes and no. Are you hearing me this morning? I don't know about you, but my God's not a rapist. My God's not a murderer. My God's not a child molester. My God's not burning down people's houses. Amen. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. And then there's a scripture in the Bible that says this. It says that, submit yourself unto God, therefore resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Has that ever helped anybody? Submit yourself unto God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now let me ask you this, if God was in control of everything, if everything that happened, God was behind, it would be impossible to obey that scripture. Are you hearing me this morning? Because you couldn't resist anything because in some way God was behind it. Some people say, well, God only lets the devil do, well, then he would be behind it and you couldn't resist it because ultimately it would be God behind the situation. Are you hearing me? Submit yourself unto God, therefore, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That means you need to interpret in situations and tests and trials the source of the circumstances in your life. Are you hearing me? Because some things you embrace and some things you resist. Amen. Some things you say no in Jesus' name. Some things you claim it, you embrace it. You say, this is God's will for me. I'll have it. I will not be denied. Amen. Submit yourself unto God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So Jairus is in this situation. He's walking on the word, and things get worse before they get better. And then what do? We need to realize. He could have said, well, you know, this is a good opportunity to give up. How many had good opportunities to give up before? You're walking something out, there's good opportunities to give up. You're in good company. I want you to know that so many miracle stories. Take the woman with the issue of blood, for example. She's sick. You know, she had to break Levitical law to drag herself out into the street and go where Jesus was. Law said because she had a condition of blood, she couldn't go out and be among the general populace. You know, she would have had to, like a leper, she would have had to cry out and say, unclean, unclean. People couldn't go around her. First thing she has to do is break the law. She couldn't have been that strong. She'd been sick for 12 years. She didn't get any better. She only grew worse. The Bible says she's broke. She couldn't have been eating right. You know, she doesn't have any money. And, she, you know, it couldn't have been an easy thing for her to fight that crowd and get to Jesus. Isn't that right? She had opportunities to give up. She could have just sat at home and said, well, if it's God's will, he'll come and meet me here. Then we have the man, the paralytic, and his four friends hears about Jesus, goes to the house where Jesus is. You know, good opportunity to give up. Gets to the place, the house is full, can't get inside. Would have been a good opportunity to say, well, if God wanted me to have it, it would have been easier than this. I guess it's not God's will for me. I guess it's not God's plan for me. Would have been a good opportunity to turn around and go home. Isn't that right? Especially since somebody, four of his friends had to carry him to the meeting. Now, every person in this place had an easier trip than that. Amen. I mean, even if you were in a wheelchair, you didn't have to have somebody carry you to the meeting. That couldn't have been an easy trip. Amen. And I don't know how far where that man's house was from where Jesus was meeting, but if it was across the street, it would have been labor intensive. Are you hearing me? And yet these people had, in other words, they had opportunities to give up. These stories are in the Bible for a reason. You'll have opportunities to give up. And one of the reasons I think people give up is because they think that they misinterpret the difficulty, and they think the difficulty means God doesn't want them to have it. Are you hearing me? Or they think the they just think, oh man, if it was God's will, it'd be easier than this. I just prayed with a man a couple days ago. Battling with cancer, went to his house. This is the first time I've met him. I was just ministering out on the west side of Cleveland, and somebody asked me to go to his house and pray with him. And, he had been to the doctor three times, and, you know, it had gone and then came back and gone and came back and gone and came back. So I start three times. Not been to the doctor three times. He'd been to the doctor many times, but in the course of this, it went and came back. Anyway, so I go to the house and I'm talking to him, you know, and we get there and he lets us in the door and he has to lay down right away because he's exerted from that exertion of letting us in the door. You know, that's where he's at. The doctors had pronounced him terminal, said there was nothing else that could be done. This is, like I said, like 3 days, it was last Thursday, just this past Thursday. So we pray for him. And the first thing I want to do when I'm talking with somebody like that I've never met before is, I used to work in Kenneth Hagin's healing school in Tulsa. I used to be an afternoon instructor there. And the first thing we do is locate somebody, we'd call it. See where they're at. Talk with them a little bit. You know, because if somebody wants to go home, that's one thing. Are you hearing me? If somebody says, you know what, I'm done. I'm just ready to go. It's better to live as Christ, to die as gain. Amen. That's one thing. Or somebody, they think that God's punishing them. That God has some lesson for them to learn. You got to correct those things. And how do you correct those things? You got to look to the testimony of Jesus. Amen. Now, let me tell you this morning. There's no good that God can do that he's not doing. Are you hearing me? There's no good that God can do that he's not doing. Amen. We can see this with Nazareth. Jesus, the Bible says, why did no mighty miracles happen in Nazareth? It said there he could do no mighty works. Not he wanted to, but he decided not to. Said there he could do no mighty works. Amen. God wants to help people. God wants to bless people. So I always just go to the example of Jesus. That's what I did with this man. I'm talking with him. If sickness was the work of God, Jesus would have had his hand in it. Amen. If sickness was the work of God, Jesus would have had his hand in it. There would have been one person. I mean, God should have given us at least one that Jesus put his hand on and said, here's cancer, be blessed, you'll be closer to me for it. Amen. There would have been at least one person that Jesus plucked their eyes out and made them blind and said, okay, you're going to learn something, you'll be closer to me for it. Are you hearing me this morning? Jesus said, I've come to do the works of him that sent me. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Isn't that right? If sickness was the work of God, Jesus would have shared in it. Are you hearing me today? There would have been somebody Jesus put his hand on and gave him leprosy. There would have been somebody that Jesus knocked, at least one person. At least one It says he went to town and village to village, healed them all, healed them all, healed them all, healed them all, healed all the lepers, opened all the blind eyes, caused all the deaf to hear. One, at least one person, one poor guy that Jesus came up to and, you know, took a lead pipe and wiped out his kneecaps and said, now, you know, now you're not going to walk anymore. Be blessed. This is a mysterious plan for your life. Are you hearing me this morning? It's important how you interpret the circumstances of your life. Amen. Not only that, but if sickness was the work of God, then we, the church, would have a hand in it. Are you hearing me this morning? In other words, after a service, we wouldn't just have a healing line. Maybe we'd have a healing line and a sickness line. Right? And we say, well, just be led, whichever one you think God is working in your life. We'll start with the sickness line, lay hands on people, maybe you'll get some foul disease, you know, and it'll be a blessing to you. It sounds ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, it goes against all common sense. It goes against just the nature of a human being. But but most importantly, it goes against Scripture. It goes against everything that's in Scripture. But I'm telling you, some people preach it like that. Are you hearing me today? And we got to renew our mind. We got to wash those things out, because how we interpret our circumstances has everything to do with our with how we fight the battle. Amen. Perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. Perseverance. So Jairus, he comes to this situation. The girl's dead. It would have been a good opportunity for him to say, you know, it's too much, you know. Good opportunity to give up. Good opportunity to say this, you know, I guess if God wanted it, it would have worked out. But Jesus gives him one piece of instruction, and this is so wonderful. I love this piece of instruction, and this is how he perseveres. Now, Webster says that perseverance is to continue on a course of action in spite of difficulty. Are you hearing me today? Continue on a course of action in spite of difficulty. Now, the parable of the sower, just right before this passage in Luke chapter 8, talks about the seed that Jesus, that the sower, you know, an example of God, a metaphor for God, the seed that the sower sows. And the thing that I love about seed is that seed doesn't pick favorites. Seed doesn't say, I'll work for you and I won't work for you. Seed will work for anybody that gives it the right conditions. Isn't that right? That's what the Word of God is like. If I had a bag of seed up here this morning and we all came up and took a handful, it's not going to pick favorites. Any person in this place who gives it the right conditions, it will produce for you. Isn't that right? Because it's the same seed. That's what the Word of God is like. You see something going on in somebody's life and you think, boy, God must really like them. Look at how blessed they are. Look how everything's working out for them. Well, I've got good news. Just go to get the seed they got. Amen. Give it the conditions they gave it and it'll produce the same thing for you. Amen. So praise God. The word is true. Everybody say the word is true. Before I knock over this pulpit, praise God. So perseverance. And Jesus gives Jairus these very important instructions. He's got opportunity to give up, you know. He's got opportunity to say, forget it. He's got opportunity to say, well, this is just too hard. And Jesus says, don't fear, only believe. King James says, fear not, believe only. Everybody say, only believe. Amen. Now this is a whole nother sermon right here. Only believe. Everybody one more time. Say only believe.
Only believe.
When you're in a tough circumstances, when things seem to get worse before they get better, that's when all of us have done it and we all think, what else should I be doing? All right? Do I need to praise more? Do I need to fast? Do I need to get to this meeting? Do I need to do that? And maybe the Lord will lead you to do something. Are you hearing me? Maybe he will. But the bottom line is this, don't fear, only believe. Amen. Jesus gave him simple instructions. It was the same thing with Lazarus. Now Lazarus, when Jesus came, Jesus' friend Lazarus, he was in a bad situation. It went from bad to worse. Lazarus' friends and Jesus' friends called Jesus, and they called him when he was just sick, just like Jairus and his daughter. And they said, come and help, you know, come and help us, he's sick. Before we go on, real quick, I want to tell you about this man. Let me think, how am I going to organize this real quick? All right, praise God. All right. I left you, the man who I went to pray at his house. Somebody remind me, we're going to finish that. Amen. You want to hear about that. So back to Lazarus, amen. So Jesus, Lazarus' friends, they call Jesus, come and pray for him. He's sick, right? Jesus waits 4 days, and then he comes over to him, you know, takes his time getting there, gets over to where Lazarus is. And then the one thing I love about what Jesus says when he gets there, he says, Lazarus is dead, but for your sakes, I'm glad. You know, if Pastor Bill or I said that, we'd get ourselves in trouble. If there was a funeral here and Pastor Bill said, well, you know, Brother Jones is dead, but I'm glad. You know, you'd make the paper with that one. So Jesus comes to Lazarus' grave. He says, your friend Lazarus is dead. He says, I'm glad, he said. For your sakes, I'm glad. Well, he had a different perspective on the situation. Isn't that right? And the followers of Jesus, they said, if you'd been here, his friends, Mary, said, if you had been here 4 days ago, you could have done something about this, but now it's too late. Now nothing could be done. If you would have done, so now they were, it was getting bad. They called Jesus, and now it's gone from bad to worse. Are you hearing me? Same thing as with Jairus. You know, they did what they knew to do. They went to Jesus like we go to the Word. Amen. They didn't have the Word. They had that man, and they had to go to him. They had a test. They had a trial. They said, Jesus, can you help? He said, yeah, I could help. And then, but now, it's, hey, we're on the road. Jesus is coming. They're standing on, that's like their version of standing on the Word. Isn't that right? Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. We've got the answer. But now, as they're standing, as they're walking this thing out, things go from bad to worse. Are you hearing me? And now the followers of Jesus, these are the people that believe in miracles. I mean, they said if you'd been here, you could have raised them up off the deathbed. But now, it's too late. So even Jesus' followers are saying this is too hard. Jesus says it's still not too hard. I could still do something about this situation. Now, this was, the most difficult situation that we see Jesus deal with personally, as far as, like we said, the one that most conflicted the course of this world. The man been dead for 4 days, isn't that right? Now, I frequently say this, I don't know what you're facing today, but it looks to me like everybody here is at least 4 days ahead of Lazarus, amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. That's good news. You're at least 4 days ahead of Lazarus. No matter how bad things have gotten, you've got 4 days on him. Amen. And if Jesus could help Lazarus, he could help you. Praise God. Somebody say he could help me. Turn to your neighbor, say he could help you, neighbor. Amen. 4 days ahead of Lazarus. So now Jesus gives instructions that are strikingly similar to the instructions that he gives to Jairus when his situation goes from bad to worse. And he says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, did I not tell you that if you got my 30 CD series on miracles, you would see the glory of God? Did I not tell you that if you sowed a sizable seed to my ministry, you would see the glory of God? Are you hearing me today? I'm just saying what he didn't say. Am I helping anybody? I'm just saying what he didn't say. Amen. He didn't tell Jairus, your daughter's dead. Well, let me tell you what you need to do now. You need to fast. He didn't have time to fast. You need to do this. No, don't fear, only believe.
That's right, man.
Everybody say persevere.
Persevere.
There's a metaphor, a type and a shadow in the Old Testament of the salvation experience, and it's the Israelites leaving Egypt and going to the Promised Land. Isn't that right? And this exciting time for them, the Passover, miracles, the signs, the all these things that are happening, and then the blood on the doorpost, a type and a shadow of the blood of Jesus. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. And God passed over them because of the blood. Amen. And judgment passed over them because of the blood. And they were saved because of the blood. And it was a type and a shadow. Isn't that right? And then God, by miracles, signs, and wonders, brought them out of Egypt, brought them out of captivity, brought them out of bondage. Amen. A type and a shadow of God bringing us out of sin. And they're coming out. Miracles are happening. But before things get better, they get worse. Isn't that right? I mean, it seems like they're on the road. They're acting on the Word. They're walking with God. They're obeying God. They're doing everything they know to do. They go a little bit further, and all of a sudden, they're confronted with the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army at their back. Talking about perseverance. Amen. Talking about perseverance. And it was a good opportunity for them to give up, wasn't it? You'll have opportunities to give up. You'll have opportunities. Talking about standing on the word, you'll have opportunities. You know, there's a scripture that we all know in this place, you know, or most of us. I know if you're a member here, you know about walking by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. You know, that scripture wouldn't even need to be in the Bible if it was always going to look good. Amen. It would just say, look around. It's all look around and just everything's going to look good. Look around. Look how good everything looks and keep on walking. No, walk by faith and not by sight. There's some times that it's not going to look good. Amen. But the word of God is still true. And if you'll persevere, if you'll press through, the outcome is guaranteed. Amen. That's the other thing about this situation. All these situations, they got bad before they got better, but they still had a miracle on the other side of that perseverance. Amen. Jairus and his daughter, Jesus is on his way. He's standing on the word. It looked like it got bad. Jesus said, don't fear, only believe. In other words, stick with me, and this thing's still going to come out like we originally said. Amen? We're going to still see this thing through. Doesn't matter what happens from point A to point B, where the word of God is concerned, point B is guaranteed. Amen? Doesn't matter what has to happen, what has to change, what happens between A and B. B is carved in stone. If God said B, then it will be. Amen. It will be. Praise God. So here we see Jairus. Things get bad. Comes to Jesus. He says, man, Jesus, you can do something about this. Jesus says, yes, I can. He's walking with Jesus. Somebody comes back, says, it's too late. Don't trouble the master anymore. There was a man in Russia when I was there in the spring, last trip. I was there, and he came to me at the end of a service. I'm praying for people. He comes up, and through the interpreter, he's having all kinds of problems, and he just looked heavy. Heaviness on him, and I didn't even know until later everything that was going on. But he had heart trouble, he had stomach trouble, he had nerve problems. He was on all different kinds of medication. He'd lost 40 pounds, all kinds of stuff going on in his life. I mean, he's just one person in a healing line. I'm just praying for him in the name of Jesus, believing God, laid hands on him, and that's it. Well, we come back now in the fall. We come back this fall. This man, he comes and picks us up at the train station, and he goes, man, I got to tell you my story through the interpreter. And he spent thousands on medication and all kinds of things going on in his life. The doctors had given up on him. The doctors had actually suggested maybe go talk to one of these witches, that practice witchcraft, because we can't do anything more for you. And so they were saying, maybe go get some help somewhere. Well, he came to that service. And this is interesting. This will help somebody. He came to that service in the spring. He came to the meeting. I laid hands on him, and he said he left the meeting, and he felt worse than he ever felt before. I'll be honest. I don't know how to really explain that other than I've seen the example in the Bible that when Jesus would cast the devil out of somebody, sometimes right before, they'd fall and be foaming at the mouth or something. It would get worse before it got better. Isn't that right? All of a sudden, somebody's, they're just, to the untrained, unrenewed mind, it looks like, what'd he do? Make them sicker. He laid hands on them. Now they're on the ground, frothing at the mouth and everything. Laid hands on this guy. He leaves the service. He says, he said he felt worse. In fact, he went home. His wife said, what happened to you? She's like, are you all right? He goes, no, I feel bad. He lays down. He takes a nap. He said he had some kind of dream, when he was sleeping. God visited him in some way. He wakes up and prays. He wakes up and he's perfectly healed. All the symptoms are gone. He doesn't take another ounce of medicine. All the symptoms are gone. He came to the meeting. Amen. Came to the meeting in the fall. He holds up this big, grocery store bag side of medicine. And he says, these are what I used to be on in the spring. I haven't taken one of them. I went back to the doctors. They said, how are you still alive and not taking these medicine anymore? God healed him. Amen. Put on all the weight. Glory to God. Let's thank him for it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. But the man, before he came to the meeting, his mom died. He had to travel down to Armenia several days where she lived. Before the meeting, he goes down there. He has to bury his mom, goes to the funeral. Then he's like, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to the meeting because he wants to be in the miracle service. His family tells him, don't go. That's just illusions. Don't waste your time with that. Stay here with us. He says, no, I'm going. He had to press through some things. Isn't that right? He goes, he gets hands laid on him. And then it seems like he's worse before it gets better. It seems like, you know, didn't lay hands on him. He leaves the meeting. He feels worse than he ever did. But then he goes, he takes his nap. He wakes up and he's totally whole. Now his testimony has spread so much through this region that word got to a woman who lived a two-day train ride away. She was at our service. She wasn't even saved. She heard about his miracle. She was at our service there in the fall. She rides 2 days by train to come to the meeting and get saved. Amen. She gets born again and 2 days back because of this man's testimony, how it's affecting that region. But see, point A is guaranteed. Man had to go through a lot. He heard about Jesus. He heard somebody's going to be praying for the sick. Then his mom dies. Then his family says, don't go. Don't go to the meeting. Stay here with us. He had opportunities, didn't he? He had opportunities to say it was too hard. Then hands are laid on him, and he feels worse than he ever felt before for a minute. But then point B. Amen? Everybody say B. Point B. Jesus said, I'll come and lay hands on her, and she will live. Jesus said, I'll come lay hands on her and she will live. All of a sudden, the report gets worse when he's already walking with Jesus, and he had a choice. Jesus said, don't fear, only believe. He must have had a choice. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have. If it was impossible for him to believe, Jesus wouldn't have given him that instruction. Yeah. If it was impossible for him not to fear, Jesus wouldn't have told him to believe. God will never tell you to do something you can't do. Amen. Jesus said, don't fear, only believe. And by persevering, he produced a harvest. Now, back to the man. He was living out on the west. He's living out on the west side of Cleveland, the man we prayed for Thursday. The doctors had given up. Like I said, he couldn't even answer the door without, he couldn't even answer the door. You know, he let us in, and then he had to lay back down and get some rest. And he was taking a rest. And we prayed for him, and I just shared with him some stories like I shared with you this morning. I said, well, the first thing you got to do is interpret your circumstances. He said, you know, he said, if God wanted to take me, I guess he could have done it the last time or the time before that if God wanted to take you. And I said, well, you know, God taking you home has nothing to do with these circumstances. I had to help him interpret the situation. I said, God just doesn't do things like this. If Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus never took somebody out by laying hands on them and making them sick. If that's how he did things, we would have seen it in Jesus. If that's how he did things again, he would have commanded us to do some of that stuff because we're the church. We do the will of God. Isn't that right? He'd have us taking people outside. It's ridiculous, isn't it? No. Jesus went about doing good. Everybody say good. Went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So I shared these things with the man, and then we prayed for him, laid hands on him. And I'm telling you, man, something just it rose up inside of me, and we just took authority over that thing, and he just started to weep. I started to weep. We had some pastor friends with us from the neighborhood. They're weeping. We just praised God for a while, and he said, the pressure in my stomach, it's gone. There was pressure and cramping, and he couldn't digest food, and he says it's gone, and he's thanking God. One thing I told him, I said, I am confident that this is not God's will for you, and it's not God's will for you to die. See, he's struggling. When those circumstances come, well, maybe it is God's will. Well, maybe God, I've tried everything I knew to try. Jairus could have said that. I've already gone to Jesus. You know, I've already got Jesus. We're on the way to the house. Maybe this is just supposed to be. Maybe this is just the way it's supposed to happen. Certainly, Jesus should have got there. That's what they said about Lazarus. You know, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind, could he not help Lazarus? You know, surely it could have happened if he wanted it to happen. Are you hearing me? Yes. Don't get into that realm. Don't get into the human reasoning, trying to figure it all out. Just look at the example of Jesus and let that be your interpretation. Amen. I mean, man, I'm seeing things I never seen before. You see what they were saying at Lazarus' grave there? They're trying to reason it out. They're trying to figure it out. Why didn't Jesus come sooner? Why not this man, he opened the eyes of the blind. Why didn't he do something about this situation? Just don't fear, only believe. Yeah. Everybody say, only believe. Only believe. Amen. I heard one man preach, Tim Obadiki over at the Dumonts. I heard him preach. I was there one night, minister from Africa. But he said something that stuck with me. He said that, you know, let the word of God do your thinking for you. Amen? You know, if you're in the military, there's an old poem that says it's not a soldier's place to ask why, but just to do and die. That's it. You don't ask why. When an order comes, you don't reason it. You don't figure it out. You just do it. Isn't that right? That's how it is for the word. Let the word do your thinking for you. Don't try to figure it out. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And examine it. Just look at the example of Jesus. It's so clear. It's so true. He never made one person sick. Isn't that right? Never laid his hands on anybody. He never told anybody, not now. He never told anybody, wait. He never even told anybody he wouldn't heal them. Every person he treated the same. Let that be the interpretation for your situations. Amen. I know my grandmother, and I might have shared this testimony here before. My grandmother, I believe I did, but it fits well with what we're talking about this morning. My grandmother had a massive stroke, massive. My mom calls me. I was living in Madison, Ohio. She was living in Parma, closer to Cleveland. And she has a massive stroke. My mom calls me on the phone one evening, says, Nana just had a massive stroke. She's at the hospital. They're going to life flight her to the Cleveland Clinic. You know, plan A was they were going to fly her, but, you know, life flight her. So they said, you know, so then I get a call back a few minutes later. I'm saying, all right, keep me posted. I'm thinking I'm going to meet him at the clinic sometime that evening, you know. She calls back and says, okay, they examined her. The doctor, you know, looked her over, examined her. There's nothing that can be done. She's not going anywhere. She, you know, she probably won't live through the night is the diagnosis. And then, you know, she said, the doctor said if she regained consciousness, but she won't. You know, I don't know what that meant. But she said, if she regains consciousness, but she won't, she'll be a total vegetable because there's so much damage done. But they said she won't regain consciousness. She probably won't live through the night. If she lived through the night, it's just going to be a couple days max at most. So, you know, she's in her 80s at this time. She's, you know, 84, 85, something like that. My grandfather had been gone for 15 years. She was a believer. My grandfather was a believer. She had, you know, made Jesus her Lord and Savior and made a decision for Jesus. So, you know, we weren't concerned about her salvation and where she was going. So you understand that they're really, you know, I mean, somebody in their 80s, they lived a full life. She was already living at home with my mom and dad. She's living in their house. Her husband had been gone for a lot of years. There's not the same natural impetus as there would be in another situation to fight and resist. You know, I mean, are you hearing me? Bible, you know, just the course of this world, just how things naturally happen. And then I get to the hospital even. And, yeah, I mean, the prognosis is impossible as far as natural things are concerned. That's it. There's nothing. I mean, it's over is what they, you know, say. So I'm sitting in the hospital room, and we're talking about perseverance, and we're talking about letting the word interpret your circumstances. Amen. Because to persevere, when you face tests and trials, to continue through difficulty, you need to properly interpret that difficulty. Amen. That's what we're talking about. So I'm sitting there in the hospital room, and, you know, I get there, and my mom's there, my dad's there, and the situation is simply, you know, they said, you know, you've been in these situations probably a lot of you. Oh, she was a good grandma, and we're just, you know, kind of everybody, you know, folks are kind of talking, you know, she lived a good life, thankful for her, and, you know, wasn't she good, you know, that kind of thing. And then I said, yeah, well, praise God, you know, and then I took my mom home, and my dad went home. You know, my dad went home earlier, my mom stayed with me a little while, then I drove her home, and I came back. By this time, it's like up early in the morning, like 2:30 in the morning. And I'm sitting there in the room, and now, so like I said, I'm sitting in this situation, and I'm talking with God, just like, you know, I'm just talking with him, just like a person. I said, Father, if it's her time to go, I don't have any problem with her going. If it's her time to go, you know, whatever, it's her time to go. I said, but you just don't do things this way. Amen. Yeah. And I said, I never saw Jesus put his hands on somebody and give them a stroke. Maybe she is in her 80s. Maybe she has lived a full life. Maybe she's satisfied with her life. But you don't do things this way. I said, Father, I feel obligated to stand against this. I just feel obligated to stand against this. Even if she is in her 80s, even if it is time, I feel obligated to stand against these circumstances. You didn't do this. Are you hearing me this morning? You got to properly interpret your situations. Amen. And I'll be honest, I mean, it didn't just come easy. I'm sitting here, and I'm like Peter. I've labored, you know, Peter's thinking I've labored and I've toiled all night long. And I'm thinking, you know, these thoughts, she's in her 80s. She, you know, come on, the doctor said it's too late. What's the point? You know, you just went, well, what, hey, you know, it's over. I said, Father, just something is, I said, I just feel obligated. I just feel obligated to stand against this. Amen. And I just took authority over those stroke symptoms. I command them to be reversed in the name of Jesus. Commanded her to live and not die. Kit, she's totally unconscious. Oxygen mask on. No response. Kissed her on the forehead and left, you know. Next morning, as you know, it's up in the morning. So later that morning, 10, 11, whatever, I get a phone call. It's my mom on the phone. She says, Grandma's awake. She's conscious, she said. She says, she's speaking. I mean, you know, she had a massive stroke. Not only is she alive, she's talking. She's watching the news, yeah. So that never helped her much. You know, she was a news junkie, but That's not part of the secret to the miracle, all right? So, but there's no secret, you know. But she's talking. She said the doctor who examined her the night before came back in, examined her this morning, said that if she didn't examine her herself, she wouldn't believe it was the same person. Amen. My mom said, well, my son's a minister. He prayed for her. And she said, would you have your son pray for me, the doctor said. That's what the doctor said. Amen. Praise God. Interpret the situations. Stealing, killing, and destroying. Where does that come from? Yeah. You know, when you're walking something out and things seem to get worse before they get better, your mind would want to say, maybe it's not working. It's impossible for it not to work. You're not the first person who had it get worse before it got better. Amen. We have scriptures in the Bible for our encouragement of people that had to walk through difficulty before their ultimate manifestation of their answer. Amen. So back to this guy on the west side of Cleveland. I told him that story. I told him the story about my grandmother because he says, well, if the Lord would have wanted to take me, I guess he could have done it the first time or he could have done it the second time. And I said, you going home to be with the Lord has nothing to do with this situation. If he was going to work his plan in your life, he's not going to do it through sickness and disease. Amen. I told him the story of my grandmother, and then I pointed him to Scripture. I said, we never see Jesus putting his hands on somebody and teaching them a lesson or bringing about God's will through sickness. Isn't that right? You know, even in sickness isn't our teacher. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Amen. So I shared those things with him. We laid hands on him. He said all that pressure left, like I told you, his digestion, you know, he felt the cramping leave. The pastor friend who went over there, he called him yesterday, Saturday. He says he's up. He says he's doing housework that he hasn't done in some time. He's up and around. He says he believed God's healed him. I said, I believe it too. Amen. He says he's going to get the test to show the unbelievers. Amen. Hallelujah. But all I tried to do for the man was just help him interpret these circumstances. You know, he'd been in a long, I came in late in the situation, but he'd been through a long battle. He said he had all kinds of people pray for him, and he'd seem like he made some headway, and then he'd fall back, you know, something would happen. He'd seem like, you know, take some ground hold. And I just wanted to help him interpret the circumstances. Amen. Say, God's on your side. God's been working. Any good, any step forward, God's been working in. Any obstacle, any step back, the enemy's been trying to come against you. Just sort it all out. Amen. Submit yourself unto God and resist the devil. You know, it's like if you clean out a closet. You know, we had a family member who just did a big cleaning job on all their closets in their house, and they took bins and labeled them and put different things in different bins. You know, this stuff is going to Goodwill. This stuff is going to be sold in the garage sale, and this is what we keep, you know, and they categorized everything. You got to take the circumstances in your life. You got to make a couple bins. Amen. On one bin, you mark stealing, killing, and destroying. Amen. The other bin, you put life and life more abundantly, and then you start taking an inventory. Amen. Well, it seems like something here is working against my healing. That goes in stealing, killing, and destroying. That's the devil's bin, and I'm going to resist it and take authority over it. Amen. And then over here, I see that Jesus said he'd come and give me life and life more abundantly, and God is on my side, and anything that's working for me, anything that's helping me out, that's what I submit to. That's what I embrace. That's what I welcome into my life. Amen. And then we persevere through that. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you. Glory to God. We thank you for today, Father. Just give him praise. Father, we thank you that you're on our side. We thank you that you're on our side. And if there's been obstacle and there's been difficulties, it hasn't been you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Jocelyn had, during praise and worship, it seemed like the Lord was speaking to her about somebody with pain shooting up and down the right side of your back. Spine specifically. Pain shooting up and down the right side of your spine. Is that anybody here today? Raise your hand. Who is it? Anybody? Yeah, yeah. Come on. Yeah, come forward. Let's just agree, those of you in your seats, as we pray for these people. Yeah, what's going on, man? Yeah, yeah. On the right side? Is it more on the... Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, God's going to help you. Hurt you this morning?
All day.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, any difference?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's not stiff anymore.
Yeah, does it hurt? Amen, did it hurt before?
Yeah, because I couldn't get up.
Hallelujah. Brothers say to say, I received my healing. Jesus bought it for me. It's mine in Jesus' name. Say no more. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, sometimes this brother didn't say that, but sometimes I have people, you know, we'll pray for them and I'll say, how do you feel? They say, well, the pain's gone for now. I'm like, for why would you say that? You know, for now. The Bible says submit yourself to God, resist the devil. Man, that's not resisting. That's setting a place at the table and saying, oh, he'll be back soon, you know. Keep his food warm. No, man, resist, right? No more. I tell people, he didn't say it, but I tell people, you know, they go, well, I feel good for now. I said, how about no more? Say no more. Amen. Praise God. Do not be conformed to the course of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Did you have anything else?
Sure. Anybody else for that?
Backs. Let's pray for backs, or just maybe specifically on the right side. Anybody who'd like your back ministered to this morning, come forward. Anybody at all. Jesus is here. Amen. Anybody. Glory to God. Yes, yes, ma'am. Take authority over arthritis, and we just speak healing to this woman from the tip of her head to the soles of her feet in Jesus' name, the name that's above every other name named. It's not just for somebody else, it's for her. And now in Jesus' name, sickness go, disease go, and we declare there will be a difference today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's thank him for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good to see you. Good to see you. Hallelujah. Everybody say Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive.
Amen. Now we're going to pray with everybody here. And we did this several places in Russia. And we're just going to pray for you right where you're at, right in your seats. Did you have anything else you wanted to share? All right, praise God. We're going to pray for you right in your seats, right where you're at. And Jesus is here. Amen. And we saw just, you know, there were some places where the crowds, 500-600 people, we didn't have time to lay hands on everybody. We just prayed. And then we'd say, who has a testimony? And people all over the place would raise their hands. Praise God. And they'd say, and then we'd take some testimony. So we're going to pray right now, right in your seats, right where you're at. And now you could put your hand in the afflicted area if it's something that, you know, a neck or a shoulder or lungs, and just put your hand there as a point of contact. Believers, the Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. If you're a believer, you could put your hand on yourself. Amen. And then after we pray, after we take authority, Jesus always gave people something to do. In fact, more than praying, he would usually just command them to do something. Stretch forth your hand, take up your bed and walk, go show yourself to the priest. He would give them some kind of command. So immediately after we take authority, after we speak the name of Jesus, in faith, act, do what you couldn't do before. If it was lungs, take a deep breath. If it was an ear, cover that good ear. I told you about that. There was a team member. She traveled with us, and she had been deaf since she was a little girl. We just made a command just like this, and she'd been with us in several cities. Made a command like this. She checked, plugged her good ear, had one of the other pastor's wives check her, the one that was formerly deaf, and she could hear. She came up and testified. Amen. She was in her 40s, and it had been decades, you know. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Well, he's here today. Like I said, I don't want to talk about some other place, some other time, Jesus. I like right now, right here, Jesus. Amen. See, the language of the devil. He always says it's for some other place, it's for some other person, it's for some other time. That's what the devil says. The gospel says it's for right here, it's for right now, and it's for you. Everybody say it's for me. Praise God. Father, we just thank you today. Oh, Father, we thank you that the devil is defeated. He is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but we have authority over him. I thank you, Father, that we have the authority in Matthew chapter 10 that you gave to the disciples. We have authority to heal every sickness and every disease. I thank you, Father, we have authority over arthritis. We have authority over asthma. We have authority over cancer. We have authority over diabetes. We have authority over blindness and deafness. We have authority over every foul work of the devil. And Father God, we're not... this is not just something that we know, but this is something that we're going to take advantage of and act on today in Jesus' name. We thank you for that authority. We thank you that the name of Jesus is the name above every other name named. I thank you, Father, that the name of Jesus is the name that's above every affliction and every problem that faces every person in this place. I thank you, Father, that the name of Jesus is above depression. I thank you that it's above every disease. I thank you that it's above mental problems. I thank you that it's above breathing problems. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we command sickness and disease to leave this place. I command backs to be whole. I command necks to be loosed. I command lungs to breathe in Jesus' name. COPD, go. Breathing problems, go. In the name of Jesus, arthritis, go. Hearts, you beat right. Lungs, you breathe deeply. In Jesus' name, lungs, breathe. Ears, hear. Eyes, see. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, right now, just act your faith in Jesus' name. Do what you couldn't do. Take that deep breath. Lift those knees. Move that neck in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you even for creative miracles. You're not less willing, as we talked about today. If somebody needs something created, you're not less willing to do it. We just think because of the course of this world that you're somehow reluctant. But the woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. We thank you for doing it even in this place in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's all thank God for it. Father, we just thank you. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Who says here already, say, I already noticed a difference in my body. Would you raise your hand, anybody at all? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, hold them up. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister, why don't you come and share what Jesus did for you real quick? Yeah, yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. God's helped you before with this, though, right? Good, all right. Okay. Yeah. Good, yeah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes. Can we pray with you about something today?
No, yes. As a matter of fact, I came up for this. I prayed the other day for this one for this 2 years. I'm thinking you can't keep it there.
All right.
It's not doing anything. And I know the only thing is going to do anything is God.
Amen, amen.
Okay? So I've given up on all hope of getting well other than God.
All right, let's pray. Let's. Yeah.
About this, and oh God, if you chooses for me to die of cancer, okay, but I would like to live.
Amen.
And anyhow, this was like the split of the second. We happened to find you.
Yeah, yeah.
You were here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, an email. And my daughter said, we're gone. I said, right.
Praise God, yeah, yeah. Amen. And this message was just for you. I mean, that man I prayed with a couple days ago, just like your situation.
He told me that I needed to go get prayer, special, from someone that I felt that when they prayed, God would hear them.
All right, let's.
Because I don't feel all the time, like even though people pray, that they're really putting their heart into the prayer.
Okay, let's pray. Let's do that. Amen. Father, I thank you for this sister in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that Jesus is her healer, just like all those others, just like every person in this place. Father, we thank you that this disease has to respond to the name of Jesus. It's not just me, it's the name of Jesus. And we say, disease, go! In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister, just thank him for it. Thank you, Lord. Let's all thank God today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank him for it. Thank him for it. Sister, amen. Praise God. What has God done for you? Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. This morning, for several months, I've been having difficulty lifting my arm and moving it back. And this morning when I got up, I checked it because I wanted to see just what was going to happen. And I said, when Pastor Dave told us that you were going to be here, all last week I just kept saying, wait up on the Lord, wait up on the Lord. I said, I'm going. I said, no, I'm going to get my healing. So this morning when I got up, I said, Lord, I'm going to praise you in advance. Because I already know what you did for me last time, you'll do it again. What you did then, you'll do it again. And so when you told us, I just threw it up, and I could never really get it, I just went all the way up with it this time. Slowly, but I went up. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to be able to move it and without discomfort and pain. In the name of Jesus, I just thank God today. So praise the Lord.
How high could you lift it this morning before? And now, hallelujah. Amen. Let's thank God with her. Amen. Praise God. And that other sister who came forward, praise God. Thank God. God gets the word out. Jesus is greater than cancer, isn't he? Yes. Amen. Told you that story just about that other man. God had given up on him. Jesus is bigger than that. We think.